Genesis chapter 24. I want to read one verse. I want you to keep your Bibles open to this chapter. We'll be looking at several verses. And you know the story. Abraham has sent his servant Eliezer out to look for a wife for Isaac. And things have gone well. And here's verse 27. After he began to contemplate all that God had done and leading him to the very place where he was supposed to be and so forth, he made this statement. And he said, Eliezer speaking, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth." Then the very simple statement. "I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." And my subject has been assigned to me, and I like conferences where the subjects are assigned. And my subject that's been assigned is the will of God, seeking the will of God. Listen to the word of Eliezer. "I, being in the way, the Lord led me." Dear Lord, we thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. And I pray, dear Lord, that the Holy Spirit of God will use that word today to speak to each of our hearts. Now, I realize afresh and anew what you said in the 15th chapter of John. Without me, you can do nothing. But I also realize, dear Lord, the words of the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, when he said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." So, Lord, I have absolutely no confidence in the flesh today. And I know that I can do nothing within myself. But by your Spirit, I can do that which you have me to do. Now, Lord, bless your word and bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. How do I know the will of God for my life? Who should I marry? Now, for some of you, that's pretty simple. Anybody that would have you, okay? Just a thought, okay? Where should I go to college? You know, you ask questions of this nature all the time. In what kind of ministry should I be involved? Where should I minister? These are questions that we wrestle with and we ask others on a regular basis. In fact, just Sunday, a young man after church, he got a hold of my ear for about 20 minutes. Too long. I was ready to eat by that time, okay? But he wanted to know in detail. Brother says, "How did you know you were supposed to go to Japan? How did you know you're supposed to do this and that and so forth?" So these are questions that we ask often and we hear asked very often. As I look back over 79 years of my life, now I know that shocks many of you that I'm 79, okay? Most of you thought I was 97, okay? But as I look over the 79 years of my life, I'm amazed at the wonderful leadership of God. You see, David made the statement when he was an old man. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps. And I'm amazed. For instance, in October 15th, 1949, I went to church as a lost sinner. And that night I trusted Christ as my Savior. Soon after being saved, I began to be asked to do different things and so on and so forth. And best I could, I just tried to do whatever I was asked to do. Then on November the 28th, 1954, I went forward in the Black Oak Baptist Church and publicly announced my call to preach. 1954, okay? Dark ages, right? For most of you, it's real dark. You weren't even born yet, okay? And that was a defining moment in my own life. And I look back over all of these years, your salvation, you began to serve God, your commitment to be a preacher, and on and on and on. January the 8th, 1956, I became the pastor of a rural church in Kentucky. In fact, I became pastor within 2 months of two different churches. One of them had church on the first and third Sunday, then they had church on the second and fourth Sunday. Fifth Sunday, I didn't go to church, okay? I'd preach Wednesday night one church, Thursday night another church in prison. And I look over those years. And then while pastoring in Kentucky, God began to deal with my heart about the mission field. And I was pastoring in a church, a town of 3,000 people, Providence, Kentucky. And we had three Baptist churches in town and a half a dozen other churches that were gospel preaching churches, 3,000 people. And then in February of 1965, my wife Virginia and my son Tim and my daughter Renee and I went to Japan as missionaries. And as I look back over all of the years of my life, and I honestly, I can stand here today and say, like Eliezer, and many times somebody says, well, how did you know this? How did you know to go here? How did you know to do this and so forth? And I think of this simple statement so many times. I, being in the way, the Lord led me. Now, sometimes we want to know what God wants us to do 20 years down the road. For some reason, God has chosen not to show us that. Amen? And thank God he has. If he did, it shocked most of us to death, okay? What we really need to do is what God wants me to do right now. I, being in the way, the Lord led me. And by the way, and I say this not with false humility at all, but everything God has done in my life has surprised me. I mean, I never will forget going home that night. And I couldn't get over the fact I'm saved. My sins are forgiven. I'm a Christian. I mean, it just... And then when people began to ask me to do something, do this and do this, and God began to deal with my heart about being a preacher and going to the mission field and working with Baptist International Missions as Far Eastern Director and President of America and all those things and so forth. And honestly, everything God's done in my life has been a surprise. It's been a shock. And as I look back over and I just think, I being in the way, the Lord led me. Let me give you just two or three things tonight. Number one, the will of God is in the Word of God. A lot of people say, oh, I want to know the will of God. Well, do you really? There's a lot in the Bible about the will of God. Okay. Do you really want to know the will of God? The will of God is in the Word of God. Let me give you a few verses. Mark chapter 3 and verse 35. Jesus said, for whosoever will do the will of God, the same is my brother and sister and mother. You really want to be in the family of God? You really want to be close to God? Then be sure that you're doing the will of God. In Acts chapter 13, there's a wonderful verse. It says this. David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, David served his generation. By the way, that's the only generation that any of us can serve. I read books about old preachers. I'm reading a book now called The 50 Christians That Every Christian Should Know. It's a great book. It tells about some great people. And I thank God for them. They served God in their generation. And that's the only one they could serve. And we can only serve God in our generation. And we do need to be training others that will serve God in their generation. But he served him by the will of God. Romans 1:10 says, making request if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come into you. Now listen to Paul. Paul is saying, really, I'd like to come to Rome. I'd like to minister there like I ministered to other people, but I want to be sure that it's the will of God. And by the way, we ought to pray daily that we'd know God's will on a daily basis. Romans 8:27 says, and he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the same according to the will of God. Think about it. The Holy Spirit of God makes intercession for us according to the will of God. Romans 12:1-2. The Apostle Paul urging us, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, and notice the next one, and perfect will of God. Romans 15:31-32. That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God. Then it goes on and on. Let me get to some practical ones. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Okay, here's another good practical one, okay? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. You see what he said? It's God's will for you to be sanctified. It's God's will for you to live a pure, moral life. It is God's will for you to be a thankful person. By the way, there are not many around. You think of all the things you do for people and how few times people just turn and say, thank you. Pretty simple, but they just don't do it. Even when the Lord healed 10 lepers, only one turned back to say thank you. That's the will of God. Here's another good one. For you have need of patience. Wow. That after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. It's God's will we have patience to wait for God. If we're not careful, we'll get so impatient and so concerned about seeing everything right now that we miss the will of God. I could go on and on. Let me give you one other though, okay? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. Wow. You didn't hear Joel Osteen? You didn't hear Robert Shuler? You didn't hear the blab it and grab it preachers? That if you're right with God, you'll always be healthy, you'll always be wealthy, everybody will love you, and so on and so forth. No, it's God's will that God's people suffer at certain times. The will of God is in the Word of God. Let me show you some things. I'll guarantee you it's the will of God for you. Number one, it's God's will that you be saved. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is God's will that every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of the earth get saved. By the way, the only way they can get saved is somebody has to tell them. Some churches have to send them. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So it is God's will that everybody in the world hear the gospel. It is God's will. In other words, Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. So it is his will that men be saved. Number two, it is his will that you be baptized. It's strange. Sometimes people ask you to pray about things that there's no need to pray about. I've had people say, I'm praying about being baptized. You're not praying about it. You're putting it off, okay? God said, do it. Even a fellow in Bowling Green, Kentucky said to me one day, said, Brother Sis, would you pray with me about tithing? And I said, no, I'm not going to pray with you about tithing. And he said, Brother Sis, don't you believe tithing is a spiritual thing? And I said, I know it is. And you're not praying about it. You're trying to talk God out of it, okay? So, there are just certain things that's God's will. In other words, if God says, do something, then that's God's will. It's God's will to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It's God's will that you be a dedicated Christian. I beseech you by the mercy of God, present your body a living sacrifice. Listen very carefully. A lot of people, I'd love to know the will of God, Brother Sid. And yet they're not willing to follow the simple things that God tells us in His Word. This is my will. By the way, if you're not willing to do the things that are specified in the Word of God, you will never know the peace that comes from being in the perfect will of God. And let me say very carefully, God never leads anybody contrary to His Word. Now, a lot of people try to get out and do a certain thing. Well, God told me to do this. God never told you to do anything contrary to His Word. Let me speak to the single people particularly. Well, I know he's not saved or she's not saved, but I believe it's God's will for me to marry her. You believe a lie. You say, how do you know that? Be not unequally yoked together, believer with unbeliever. So God never leads contrary to His will. If we're to know the will of God, then we must know the Word of God. How can I know the Word of God? Read it often. We have a saying in Japanese that goes like this. Osakano taberu yoni seisho yomi nasai. And it means this. Read the Word of God like you eat fish. And they ate fish every day, and they ate a whole lot of it, amen? So read the Bible the way you eat fish. I had a good Japanese evangelist preaching in our church one time. And of course, the Japanese Bible, you don't read the Bible that way, but you read it up and down like that. And Brother Ishigo said to me one day, he said, Brother Sis, when the Americans read their Bible, they read like this. But when, he said, when we read our Bible, we read like this. And I said, Brother Ishigoda, my head may be going, but my heart. Read the Word often. The psalmist says, but His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth He meditate day and night. Read it prayerfully. I mean, we shouldn't approach the Bible as if, hey, this is something I have to do. No, no, no. We should approach the Bible like the psalmist approached it when he said, Lord, lead me in Thy truth and teach me, for Thou art the God of my salvation. On Thee do I wait all the day. So read it often. Read it prayerfully. Read it with a submissive heart. Here's one of the great truths about knowing the will of God. John 17:17 says, listen to it very carefully. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Now listen to this statement. If any man will do. Now some people have the idea, okay, dear Lord, You show me Your will for my life. And if it's what I like, I'll do it. Guess what? You'll never know the perfect will of God for your life. rather than writing out your life and say, now, God, you sign it. What we need to do is just take a blank piece of paper and sign it and say, Lord, you fill it in. If any man will do. So read it submissive. Number two, the will of God will be revealed daily as we spend time in prayer. I often think about the children of Israel when they're traveling through the wilderness, and they had the cloud to lead them by the day. And when the cloud stood still, they stood still. And when the cloud moved, they were supposed to move. By night, there was a pillar of fire. And sometimes you read that and you say, man, wouldn't that be nice today? Just look up in the sky. And there it is. It tells us what we're supposed to do today. You've heard the old story about the fellow who said, well, I know God called me to preach. Because one day I was out in the field working, that I looked up in the sky, and that was GPC. Go preach Christ. And he tried to preach one time. Somebody said to him, you know, I believe you misread that. He said, I believe what that meant was go plow corn, okay? So sometimes you say, wow, wouldn't it be nice? But you know, the fact is, we have something better than the cloud and the fire. And God said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'll send you another comforter. And he'll be in you and he'll be with you. We have the Holy Spirit of God. And as we go, for instance, look back in your Bible in Genesis chapter 24. In the first part of it, we find Eliezer as he listens to Abraham. That's listening to God, okay? He's listening to Abraham. And then he goes where Abraham tells him to go, and he's doing what and then he gets to the well of water. And watch him as he's praying. The will of God will be revealed daily as we spend time in prayer. When we read the Bible, God talks to us. When we pray, we talk to God. And here's Eliezer. And, you know, he's like many of us are. Lord, I don't know what I'm supposed to do today. I don't know where I'm supposed to go. I don't know where I'm supposed to be. Okay, notice what he said. Look at verse 13. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And hereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. What a great prayer, amen. In other words, and like us so many times, dear Lord, show me what I'm to do about this situation. Show me where I'm to go today. Show me where I'm to be and so forth. And now be careful, because sometimes we get frustrated when God tells us to do something that don't seem right with us, okay? I know even yesterday, some of the plane mess you had, and you all kind of messes on plane, you know. And I kind of out of sort with Delta Airlines. And then God put me in a place yesterday where there was a very high-profile fellow sitting on my right. There was a very good-looking black man sitting on, sitting on my left. On my right was a very good-looking black man. On the other side, very prosperous-looking fellow. You know, they all paid first class. I got the cheapest ticket you could get and got upgraded, okay? So that's the reason I was among those kind of people. And so I looked over this fellow on my right. He's a black fellow, and I thought, okay, I'm going to preach in a conference on evangelizing black America. It'd be a good idea to witness to him. Amen. Look at the fellow on the left. He is white, so I'm white, so it might be a good idea to witness to him. Okay. And God puts you in the place where he wants you. And we need to pray on a daily basis. Dear Lord, put me today where you want me to be. So, Eliezer prayed. Listen to his prayer. Let me give you three things about his prayer. Number one, He prayed earnestly. I mean, here he's, Eliezer just pouring out his heart to God. Lord, I don't have any idea who to choose. And aren't you there many times? Lord, I don't have any idea what to do in this particular situation. He prayed earnestly. Number two, he prayed specifically. Now some of our praying is so general, we never know if God answers prayer or not. Dear God, save everybody in the world. Duh. God bless all the missionaries. Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, all of them, okay? I mean, if we're not careful, we'll pray so generally that we never know where God answers our prayers or not. This is a very specific prayer. And he said, Lord, I don't have any idea which one to choose. So when somebody comes out here and I say to them, would you give me a drink of water? Then they'll say, sure, I'll give you a drink of water. And then while I'm drinking, they'll say, well, let me draw water for your camel. Now, that was specific prayer. He had 10 camels. Each of them drank about 20 gallons of water. Back in those days, drawing water wasn't turning on the faucet, okay? He's putting the bucket down the well time after time, drawing it up, you know. So maybe he thought, whoever marries Isaac's going to have to work hard, you know. What? I'm not sure about the prayer, okay? But it was a very specific prayer. And then he prayed expectantly. In other words, he really expected God to answer his prayer. And by the way, if you don't expect God to answer your prayer, there's really no need for prayer. So it was a very expectant prayer. It was a earnest prayer. It was a specific prayer. I being in the way, the Lord led me. How'd you know where to go, Eliezer? I was just talking to God. I was praying as I was going. I often think of the 16th chapter of the book of Acts when the apostle Paul and Silas was going on the second missionary journey. Of course, you know the story. The first missionary journey, Barnabas and Paul went out together, and before they left on the second missionary journey, they had a little dispute. I often tell people that's probably where Independent Baptists began, amen? Paul said to Barnabas, you go your way and I'll go my way, okay? But I love that story because they didn't criticize each other the rest of their lives. They didn't talk bad about each other. They didn't call each other neo-evangelical or pseudo-fundamentalist. They didn't agree on personalities. And one of them went one way, the other went the other way. So Paul and Silas was determined to go to Asia. And on the way, strange thing happened. Listen to it. Now, when they had gone through Perga and the regions of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. You say, wonder why that was. I have no idea. It's just in the Bible, okay? Some things you just accept, okay? But Paul that was his plans. And by the way, don't get too upset when God interrupts your plans. So evidently, Paul wanted to know every day where God wants me today, what God wants me to do now. And then they came to Mysia, and they said to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Then all of a sudden, listen. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul by night. There stood a man, Macedonian, prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. As I talk to God on a daily basis, as I pray and seek God's will on a daily basis, then God will lead me step by step. By the way, when they found out where they were supposed to go, the Bible said immediately they endeavored to go. A lot of times, God will speak to our heart about things, and it just doesn't seem right to us. For instance, listen to this one. Philip is in Samaria. Big revival meeting, Brother Clayton. I mean, great things happening. Souls getting saved, lives being changed, you know. Devils fighting. By the way, that's as much as part of people getting saved, amen. When God is working, you can count it, the devil is going to be working also. All kind of good things happening. And all of a sudden, listen. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Philip, leave the revival, go down the desert. Not real logical, okay? Maybe not a lot of people out in the desert. But there was an Ethiopian out there that had a searching heart. And I take verses like this, and I cannot help but believe from the depth of my heart, if anybody in the world really has a desire to know God in one way or another, God's going to get somebody there to tell them about Jesus. If I'm going to know the will of God on a daily basis, if I'm going to know the will of God for my life, then I'm going to have to follow God on a daily basis. I'm going to have to find out through prayer every day what God wants me to do. Let me close with this. In the will of God, we have the provisions of God. Look in chapter 24 again. Genesis 24. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master. Now watch this next statement. It is a great statement. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. Wow. Abraham, one of the richest men in the whole world. And yet here is Eliezer, his servant, and he is listening to his master. He's going where his master told him to go. He's doing what his master told him to do. And the Bible says all of the goods of his master were in his hand. Listen to just a couple of verses from the Bible. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When I am where God wants me to be, and I am doing what God wants me to do, then I have the assurance that God's provisions will be present. I left a paraphrase of verse Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. Now this is a CIS paraphrase, okay? So don't take it too seriously. You take care of God's business, and God will take care of you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Take care of God's business. And all these things shall be added unto you. God will take care of you. Psalms 37:25, I love it. I've been young. By the way, that's a good statement, ain't it? All of us like to say, I've been young. And now I'm old. Nobody likes to say that. But David was about 65 years old at that time. So a lot of us this morning can say, I've been young, now I'm old, amen. And listen to the next statement. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The provision of God is in the will of God. You get where God wants you to be. You do what God wants you to do, and God's provision will be sufficient. Remember in the 22nd chapter of Genesis, when God commanded Abraham to take his son Isaac and offer him there as a sacrifice on Mount Moriah. Read the whole story. I don't have time to do it this morning, but read the whole story. It's a wonderful thing. Immediately, Abraham started out toward the place God led him to. He went exactly where God told him to go. And he was just ready to slay his son. And then the Bible says, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. God's provision is in God's place at God's time. What if Abraham would have said, okay, Lord, I know what you want me to do, and eventually I'm going to do it. Most of the people that eventually do something never do it. The ram would not have been caught in the thicket. What if he had said, there are some other mountains that's just as good as Mount Moriah. I'll go there. No. Abraham went where God told him to go. He went when God told him to go. And he did what God told him to do. And lo and behold, there was the provision of God. All of the examples that I've listed tells us about people that went where God told them to go. And they did what he told them to do. And God provided for him. God's provision is in God's place and in God's time. Let me close with this. Let me give you four words. And I will not preach each word, okay? I'd love to, but I won't. How can I know if I'm in the way? How can I know if I'm in the way? I being in the way the Lord led me. In other words, Eliezer just said, I got in the way, and God led me. How can I know? Four words. Number one, if I'm in the way, I must be saved and certain that I'm saved. You say, well, that's elementary, but it's important. A lot of people have tried to do God's work and not saved. Number two, I must be submissive. And let me urge you, submissive is not a dirty word. I must be submissive. If I am to be in the will of God, I must be saved. I must be submissive. In other words, I must be willing to obey God regardless of what God says. Submissive. I must be submissive to God. I must be submissive to my spiritual leaders. Every church member ought to be submissive to their pastor. Paul said, you follow me as I follow the Lord. And as long as a man is preaching the word of God and following God, then we as church members are obligated to be submissive to them. The Bible says that we as Christians are to be submissive one to another. The Bible says that wives are to be submissive to their own husband and so forth. If I'm going to be in the will of God, I have to be submissive. Number three, if I'm going to be in the will of God, I have to be separated. Separated from the world. And by the way, separation is not just a one-way track. I'm to be separated from the world. I'm to be separated to Jesus Christ. Then the last thing is, I must be serving. I must be serving. Doesn't mean you have to be a preacher. Doesn't mean you have to be an evangelist or a missionary. But it means you have to be doing something for the glory of God. Eliezer said, I being in the way, the Lord led me. When we get in the way, God will lead us. Don't worry about the years, the months, or even the days. Just get in the way. Right now. If I were to say to Pastor Kenny, Brother Kenny, I've got a friend over in Baltimore, and I don't have my car with me. I flew in, so I wonder if I could borrow your vehicle tonight after church, and I need to drive over to Baltimore and see my friend. And Brother Kenny would say, well, Don, it's okay. I mean, you can borrow my vehicle, but for some reason, the lights only shine about 100 yards down the road. That's all the lights will shine. In Baltimore, it's maybe 50, 60 miles, something like that. You know what I say to Brother Kenny? I say, okay, let me have the vehicle. I'll go that 100 yards. And then after that, I'll see what happens. Lord, I'd sure like to know what's going to happen. 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. No. God said, you walk in the light you have today. I being in the way, the Lord led me. Are you saved? Are you really submissive? I mean, you know, okay? Are you really separated from the world and unto God? And are you serving? I being in the way the Lord led me. And I looked over, what, some 56 years in full-time Christian ministry. And all the ways that God's led me. And honestly, all I can say is, now, I've said so many times, I used to say it, I've never had a hair-raising, out-of-this-world experience. You know, God's never spoke to me, or I've never seen some great vision or anything. I used to say that all the time. And then one time, Virginia said to me, Don, don't you remember when you met me? And other than the first time I met Virginia, and by the way, thank all of you for praying for her, okay? She's asked me to be sure to tell everybody there, and I know many of you. I've never had all those experiences that some people talk about. But I can honestly say, as I look over 79 years of being saved, 79 years of living, 63 years of being saved, some 58 years in Christian ministry. It's just wonderful to look back and say, I've been in the way the Lord led me. Hey, and guess what? The one that's led me this far will lead me the rest of the way. Every once in a while, somebody say, well, brother, sis, how long are you going to do this? How long are you going to do that? Or even, I don't have any idea. I really don't. All I know is today, I'm in the way. So far, it's worked out good, okay? And if I stay in the way, the Lord will keep leading. Let's pray together. Pastor.